Today is September the 23rd, 1980. This is Madeline Bubel interviewing Orrin, better known as Sunny Mann, at his home in Castroville, Texas. I am interviewing for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Project B. Sunny, I'm going to call you Sunny. The subject of this interview is family life, customs, and traditions. But before I start questioning you about those things, I want to find out a little bit about your background. Where and when were you born?
1914, May 15th.
And where were you born?
On the back street, but I just don't know what the name of the street is, but it's the house where Tina Benitez lives in right now.
Tina Benitez.
Across in front of Wilfred Sheridan, on the side of Wilfred Sheridan, right there.
Oh, okay.
Better known as the Sladen House.
Okay, that identifies it fine. Was that where your parents lived at the time?
At the time, yes.
So you were born at home?
Yes, I was born at home.
Okay. What was your father's name?
Alfred Mann.
And your mother?
Margaret Mann, or Maggie, she was called. Maggie Cease.
Maggie Cease. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
No brothers or sisters.
So you're an only child?
I'm an only child.
All right. What was your father's business? What did he do for a living?
First he was a farmer, and then he became a barber.
Where did he have his barber shop?
He was down the street next to the market, Mr. Gallant's fruit stand, right next to the bank, in back of the bank, which was a saloon at those days.
All right.
And that's where he started. Mm-hmm. Mr. Liberal put him in business there.
Mr. Liberal's name crops up occasionally. He must have been very prominent.
He put him there and put him in there with all the equipment and told him, now you're a barber, you're going to stay here. And Daddy learned on the ranch, on the growth boys, how to cut hair.
So was he ever trained, really?
Never trained.
He just learned
it. He learned at barber on Jim Grove, who just passed away a while back, and Claude and all of those boys up there, and Mr. Pete Grove, Lorene Hollert's brothers and sisters.
That's interesting. Well, what was your mother's role? Was she strictly a homemaker, or did she go out and work?
No, she worked in Lacoste for Dr. Kuntz.
What did she do?
Housework. She done housework for Dr. Kuntz at Lacoste.
And this was after they were married?
Before she was married.
After she was married, she never worked.
She was just a housewife.
Okay, what language did you speak in home? What was the first language you learned?
Alsatian.
Could you speak English when you started school?
Fairly well.
Did you find that a handicap, speaking Alsatian?
Yes. No, that's all we taught was spoken is Alsatian.
Did it cause a handicap when you started school?
No, not much, no.
You knew enough English?
Yes.
Okay.
And we also learned to read and write German. It was the first year mm-hmm. we had German.
Just 1 year?
1 year, and then it was stopped by someone in the government or somewhere. No more German.
Can you tell me about what year that was?
1921, when I started school.
Mm-hmm. Do you think possibly World War I had an effect on that?
Could have. That was what, 21? That was just 3 years after World War I was shut down or was over with, when armistice was signed.
Right. Where did you go to school?
St. Louis School, Catholic School.
Where was it located at the time you went to school?
Where Moy has their music hall now, in the far end corner of the Moy building. Bill Lock on the left hand side.
Can you remember any teacher in particular while you were going to school there?
Yes, Sister Marcella and Sister Laboria. That's two of them I remember there. In the new school, we had Sister Faust and Sister Frances Helen, and those are two of them I remember.
Mm-hmm. All right. And who was the priest at that time?
Father Heckman was the priest when I started school. Okay.
So, did you attend Catholic school all of your life?
Yes, till the 10th grade.
Till the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. Was that considered completing a high school at that time?
I imagine I have a diploma for bookkeeping. I don't know if it was bought at Crest or somewhere, but I do have one. I don't know. Anyway, I always said I graduated school. I didn't graduate.
All right. Did you ever attend the newer St. Louis school?
Yes, I finished at the newer St. Louis school.
What year was that built?
I don't know what year that was built. I really don't.
Okay. But then you did attend both.
Oh, yes.
Both places. Was it required that you attend the Catholic school because of your religious affiliation? You are Catholic, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that time it was required to go to Catholic school.
Okay. What about your role in the home as a child and then a little bit older as far as work was concerned? Did you have any chores you had to do before you went to school or in the evening?
Oh, no. We did raise baby calves when I was younger, but then I went to work early for J.F. Schott and Son. It was J.F. and Schott Brothers in 1927. I was 13 years old when I started work on Sundays for them. And finally then on Saturdays I was working for Blackie Sheridan, Sundays for Schott's. Sunday nights I pulled soda water at the dance hall at Tragesser.
Tragesser's Hall was located where?
Right where Mrs. Whitehead lives. They had a nice house and a dance hall in those days.
So instead of having chores at home, you picked up your little money, spending money by going out to work.
Work
at an early age.
Yeah, early age. I held down three jobs.
My goodness. All right. What about leisure in your home? What were some of the things y'all did for fun, you know, just at home?
Well, at home we didn't have much. Daddy was working most of the time, late in the evenings, and we just didn't have much going on unless he'd take me to rabbit hunting or dove hunting when the season was open. But otherwise, or once in a while deer hunting. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing we had at home.
Well, you said he worked late. Did he work, how many days a week did he work?
He worked 6 days a week, and he worked late at nights, most of the night to 6 o'clock, and then on Saturdays till 12, 1 o'clock. And Friday nights they were open.
Well, what was the reason for working so late?
Because money was scarce, and you had to work every chance you got to make a few nickels, every chance you had.
So, in other words, you didn't have a lot of money, and
no.
He picked up everything he
yes,
could.
Yes, right.
Do you think that he had to cater to rural people, that this was the reason?
Well,
he
that's all we had after the dam was built, at Medina Dam. Well, he was at the barbershop at that time, and that was 1911 when that was built. And he used to go down at 6 o'clock in the morning and work till 3 in the night on weekends because we had all kinds of people here. And he'd walk home along the river to the Flat Rocks where Wiley Mangle lives now at night in the dark.
That was from the Medina Dam?
From the barbershop home.
And he, at that time, they lived over
there.
They were
there where Wiley Mangle now lives.
I see. Okay, so they moved from the house
right
where Benitez...
Well, that was before he was married.
Oh, I see. He was a barber before he married already.
Yeah.
Oh, I okay. All right. I should have pursued that before,
right.
But I just you said he was a farmer first.
Yes.
In my mind's eye, he picked up the barber trade later.
Yeah.
Was there ever music or anything like that in the home?
Oh, yes. He played the violin and the guitar. He and Mr. Louis Mayer played for dances, covered by horse and buggy on Sunday nights. He used to play for dances. I still have his violins here, both of them that he had.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Where did they play car dances? Do you know?
Well, Remedina and Border Settlement and house parties. In those days, there were lots of house parties or surprise parties or a barn dance. If somebody built a new barn, they had a barn dance.
Did he ever take music?
No, everything by ear.
Just had a gift for
him. Yes, Fran Shark also.
You said that he played for dances, for house parties, and this type of surprise parties.
Yes.
Do you remember attending any of those?
Yes, one night I went with him. It rained and rained all day Sunday, and I had a box supper at Burrell School. If you remember Burrell School, right across from Clarence Haven, there was a box supper that night. And at 9 o'clock, they called him and said, we're going to have the party, the box supper, and the dance come on up. And I don't know who played with him that night, but anyway, he and I went up there, and the Model T asked me to go along. And they were selling the boxes by 10 o'clock up there. And there was people there like Tobin Mangold, John Booble, and all those people came from all around for the box. And it was for the benefit of the school.
Okay, now would you tell me what a box supper was?
A box supper, the ladies would fix boxes with some real good food in it and decorate them real nice. And then some were little wagons, some were maybe a little airplane or different models of things or different items, and they would be auctioned off the highest bidder.
And this was for the benefit of the school?
That was for the benefit, and they would invite the one that had her name in the box, that I invite them to eat with them.
Oh, I see. This has never been brought up yet on one of my, but I remember it now that you tell me, right? Well, what about surprise parties? Did you ever put
no,
any of those?
No,
barn raising?
Yes, myself.
Tell me your experience.
We went to one barn dance at George Balson's out in Queehee. The Raymond Biediger and I and Hilly Mangold and Dan Mangold and George Holthaus. Must have been around 1927-28 when we went out there to a barn dance. It was a lot of fun. They had just built a new barn.
Okay. It's been pointed out to us that weddings for a long time were on a Tuesday. Do you know this to be a fact?
To be a fact, because I had to get married on a Tuesday in those days, and that was back in 1935 when we got married, and it had to be Tuesday. It couldn't be no other day of the week.
Do you have any idea why?
No. Never did learn why. But it had to be Tuesday.
Okay. Do you remember when this custom stopped? You have an idea.
I would think when Father Lenson came into this country, right around that area, I think.
That it wasn't always customary to marry
on Tuesday. No, then it got to be on Sundays and then on Saturday, because our daughter got married on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. do you have any idea why the change might have come about without the... other than the priest being instrumental in it?
No, I don't think it was the priest. It was the people that wanted it that way, because people were off of work on Saturday or Sunday and could attend the wedding, which other Tuesdays they couldn't leave their jobs, wouldn't get off.
Well, do you think that possibly because earlier it was more a agriculture or a farming society, rural society, and they could come any time, and then as later years came along, people went to a job.
Right, so true.
This was probably the reason.
It
was economic, in other
words.
Okay. Describe your wedding. Did your wife wear Also, tell me, boy, also tell me who your wife is and your children's names. I should have picked up on that earlier.
Oh, well, fine. My wife was Corrine Sherhart, and our children are Helen and Frank, Helen Lutz and Frank Mann.
And Helen's husband?
Helen's husband's friend is Lutz, the youngest one of Wallace Lutz's
And Frank's wife?
Frank's wife is Brenda Redding from San Antonio.
Okay. I should have gotten that earlier, but
and
anyway.
And they have Brandon.
All right. Now, tell me about your wedding. Did your wife wear, did you have a big wedding?
We had a big wedding for those days, yes, uh-huh. We had married on a Tuesday, September 17, 1935. We just had 45th wedding anniversary last week.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget Grandpa Sheridan and Mr. Frank Meaning was farming at Pearson at that time and was a fishing friend of my wife's father, and he made a deal with him to get some turkeys up there, and we had turkey and barbecue, and we went to Mr. Minnie's house to buy three turkeys for the wedding, and we had barbecue. I just told my wife the other day, the day before our wedding, I was, you know what we were doing? That I was digging a barbecue pit for the barbecue for the day before, and we were all getting ready for them, and we had it in the backyard of Mr. Sherrod's house, or next to the where the Legion Hall is next door. We even danced in the yard. We had.
That's where your wedding reception
that's
was.
That's where our wedding reception was.
Did Corrine wear a white dress and veil, the traditional?
Yes, uh-huh.
Wedding, and how many bridesmaids, attendants, did you have?
Four. I'm pretty sure Charlie sees George Meaning. I don't remember. Oh, Lawrence Haby. Maybe there was only three. I forget. I don't even know where. What I know there was three.
What time of day did you get married?
9 o'clock on Tuesday morning.
Okay. When you and Corrine got married, I think the custom was after the ceremony you would go to the priest's house to sign the register.
Right.
Did the altar boys intercept you at the gate?
Lock the gate with a chain. That's what we used to do when we were altar boys. Lock the gate. We had a lock and we had all the gates locked until we got a few dollars. And Jenny got $10, $12, and that's what happened to us in those days.
And what was the purpose?
It was divided amongst the altar boys. That's the only thing they got. They wanted to let the bride and the groom out.
They did, you know,
out of the gate, yes.
They detained them from going
right
through there till they got money.
Money, yes.
I see. And this happened to you too?
Right, and then after that you had to drive to San Antonio to, I forget whose studio we went to have the pictures made. That took till 12 or 30 till you got through there, and then you go back home for dinner, and the rest were waiting for you all that time.
Could it have been the Lewison studio on West Powers?
Yes, right. Right, Lewison studio.
The cutting of the wedding cake, was that done the day of the wedding?
I hate to say this, my wife says, Duty baked the wedding cake, and I said Aunt Molly Schott baked the wedding cake. That was Mrs. what Haynes at the time before she married Mr. Lewis Schott. And I remember Mrs. Jo Schott, which was Lucille, made my wife's wedding gown, wedding dress. Yeah, I remember that.
And this was in 1935.
1935. I was working for Blackie Shearer then. And Corrine was working for the bakery, Blue Bonnet Cafe and Bakery.
And that was located where?
Where the West, where Gene Cease's real estate is right now.
I see. You mentioned Duty a while ago. Who is Duty?
Oh, her sister.
All right. Mrs. Holzhouse?
Yeah, Mrs. Okay. Holzhouse.
Okay, after the wedding, you said you had the dinner and then you danced at night.
Yeah.
Who played for that dance? Just in the backyard?
Yes, just in, that's all we could afford, because I think we got $65 in cash, and that was a lot of money. I said, I guess we'll get a checkbook next day that we're going to put this in the bank. It didn't last but about 4 weeks. We were broke, but we were both working, and I was getting $7 a week, and she was getting $8, and everybody was envious of us and jealous because we were making so much money.
My goodness.
$15 a week.
Okay, did you go on a honeymoon trip?
We went to Corpus Christi on a honeymoon trip, yes. We had a Model A Ford Sport Roadster I had at that time. If you didn't have it, when you had a car at 18 years of age, you were big stuff, but then we couldn't afford to drive it. I walked to see my wife before we were married all week long until Saturday evening, and Sunday we could drive it. Gas was $2.50 a gallon, but we didn't have no $2.50 to buy it with. And you drove in the filling station and you said, fill her up, and held out two fingers on the side. 2 gallons is all you could afford, but you know.
How far did 2 gallons take you?
Well, in a Model A in those days, they went pretty far. I guess about 40 miles, I imagine.
Okay. So at that time, the weddings were typically on a Tuesday, and you had a reception at home most of the time with just the immediate family.
Yes, right. There was no place. Your godfather and the godmother, that had to be there. And they didn't go too far out of the thing.
I probably couldn't afford to have a big party like they do now. Did you ever participate in a chivalry?
Yes, I sure did.
Whose chivalry was it, do you remember?
Yes, Mr. Bob Ream. And who was the other one? Alfred Hooker. No, was it? I don't even remember, but I remember Bob Ream. And he lived right now where the city warehouse is, where the nuns own the rent house they have in back of the city warehouse. That's where Bob Ream lived. And there was there another one, but that was earlier, and I don't remember who that was.
Oh, just what does a chivalry mean? Would you tell me what it means?
A chivalry? Well, they bring cowbells, plowshares, and discs, and all kinds of wash tubs, and they hammer on them until somebody comes out after they're married a second time. When they make noise, somebody brings them some food and some beer.
Well, they don't give up until
they get something to eat and drink, and they won't leave.
And this is done to whom now?
Well, people that are married a second time. I don't know how that worked. I don't remember either. If it's divorced or if the mate passes on, I don't know which it is. If it's for both ways, I don't remember.
But it's always a second marriage.
Right.
All right. For one or the other.
One or the other, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're going to talk a little bit about burials and baptisms and follow those two subjects for a little bit. And when you think back over the funerals, were they, and when the ones you first remember, was the body at home?
Yes, and the undertaker was Milton Lupik, and he'd come out from San Antonio.
You want me to put it?
He'd come out from San Antonio. That was the only undertaker they had in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a man who weighed about 350 pounds.
Exactly.
And they put the fans in the back of the church as people walked in. You remember those days? You grabbed your fan, they didn't have no air conditioning church, okay. And undertakers, well, there were none out here, and people would sit up at night, and they'd have food for the people to set up, and they would change off. At 12 o'clock, a different group would come to sit up with the dead person.
This was called the wake, right?
The wake, right. And my daddy in those days, can I say that?
Sure.
There were no undertakers here, so he shaved the many a dead person. They'd call him to go over and say, I remember many times, he'd get $5 to shave a dead person, but it was some job.
I can imagine it was. Yeah. That's something you don't think about,
right.
You know, has to be done. True. Okay. when do you think that this custom of having the body at home ended?
Ooh, I would, well, after the undertaker started coming, Mr. Tondre, when he started undertaking business, I think that's when it ended right there.
Was it customary for people, say friends and relatives, to bring food to the home?
Not in those days. I don't remember ever, you know, that there was anything brought in those days. I mean, it might have, but I just don't remember.
In other words, it was the friends sitting up with the body or staying with the body until they left the house
yes.
for the burial.
Yes.
But as far as relatives and friends, like the custom is today, this you don't recall.
No, not that it's, you know, you bring food to mm-hmm. the family so they don't have to cook those days. I don't remember that.
Did the family get together afterwards? After the funeral was over, as the custom is today?
I don't think so. I just don't remember that they did. I mean, they went home and that was it, because they left them alone, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in their sorrow.
Right.
Okay. The mourning period, how long was that?
Oh, that was for a year. You wouldn't go to a dance or to a movie or to anything. And the ladies would wear black, and the men would wear either a band on their hat, a black band, or a black band on their suit, on their coat.
And this indicated that they were in mourning.
Mourning,
all right.
Right.
What happened, or did you ever know of an incident where, say, someone in the family, maybe one of the younger ones, said, "This is just ridiculous. It's taking entirely too long for this period to pass," and went to a dance or wore a red dress or something like that? What was the feeling of the community?
At first it was bad. People thought that was the worst thing you could do, you know. Some of the younger ones would go to a dance just after one of the family would die. But later on, well, she thought, "I can do it," so they just kept getting better and better, you know, in that part. I mean, mm-hmm. you wanted your, well, you can't bring them back, you mm-hmm. know, which is so true. And then, well, some of the parents died and the young ones went to dance within 3 weeks, so what?
Mm-hmm. True. But the point I'm trying to get, you know, too, is about when did people become more tolerant and say, "Well, this is ridiculous"?
I don't really know. I mean, you imagine about 15, 20 years ago that really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they started to get more tolerant, as I can remember, around 1950, I think. And it's slowly,
more
but surely, more and
more.
More,
yes.
Right, right. Okay. What did you attend dances much as a young man? No.
Mm-mm. Not until I started going with my wife. Then she did, but I didn't. I didn't go to dance. We went to dance, but we didn't dance.
You didn't dance.
Mm-mm.
Why?
I couldn't. McCain did.
Oh yes, you can too. Oh, well, how did you learn to dance?
Oh, well, I danced with my wife. I married her.
She taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go to dances?
Tri-Gazes, right up here, and that's where Miss Whitehead lives now.
Would you describe that hall to me?
That was one of the finest halls in those days. It had a big silver ball like they have at the Roaring Twenties. And it was kept clean, and everything was, I guess, one of the first ones in this area that had a restroom on the inside for the ladies and for the men. They had the top bands at all the time, always like Jimmy Klein. They had Ralph Webster, which was music.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have the Niemeyer's for a barn dance, where they would have a donkey on the stage and a male cow on the stage. And they had bales of hay to sit on for the musicians to sit on, and we wore overalls, and the girls wore little house dresses.
For the barn dance.
For the barn dance, and the Niemeyer's played.
What did you wear when you had these other name dances?
You wore suits. tie and this full dress suit. I mean, once in a while, so you could get in with just a shirt or no tie, you know. But most everybody wore a suit if he was going with a girl.
What did the girls wear?
Dresses, mostly dresses. Not long dresses, just regular street dresses.
So the long dress wasn't in fashion at
no,
that time?
No, uh-uh.
Okay. Were there any other places that you went to dances here?
Well, there was one at Jaggy and Haynes at the Wernitz Garden, which is Canning Park now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was dances down there.
How often were these dances?
Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, and none during Lent and none during Advent. Once every Sunday night there was a dance at Tri-Guesses.
Oh, that was every Sunday.
Every
but the
Sunday.
Ones at Wernitz Garden were still on the special.
Or every other. They were two. They had them either Saturday nights or had them Sunday nights. I forget now.
Uh-huh.
But they had them two regular, too. But they now, before when Mr. Lehman had the Wernitz Garden, he used to have Theo Arts and his son Gene to play out here old-time music.